If you will, turn to Psalm 1. And this is the portion of our study that we look at God's Word together. And those passages were read because we will refer to them possibly. But mainly we'll be looking at Psalm 1. And before we get started, I want to ask a question. And it's a serious question. And the question that I have is, do you know what it means to be happy? Is it attainable? Do you know what it means to be content? Are you striving for that? Often I wonder if we understand what it means to be happy. Is it possible? And the more that I consider Psalm, especially the division one, let's read it. We'll make some comments and possibly ask for a reader or two, and we'll shut down and then have our devotional. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When you think of the Psalms, there are so many different Psalms. There are different authors. We understand that the Holy Spirit, he is the author of the Bible, the Word of God. Yet, we have David, and it's not ascribed who is the author from the man's pen, per se. But we know that whoever this psalmist is, that he had the introductory mentality, that he introduces all of the psalms, if you will, by way of foundation. You have men like David, men like Asaph, men like Moses, who wrote psalms. And in those psalms, we find different aspects of life. We see men who are on the pinnacle of life. And then you see men and who are asking God, how long? How long should I have to deal with my enemy? How long should I be on the run? How long? You see that in the Psalms. You'll see men who literally tell God, you are my shepherd. And he ascribes him as his personal possession. And so when we think about this, these are things that we need to be considering. But then you think about the longest psalm, and Psalm 119, and there's 176 passages there. And all 176 are talking about the Word of God. And 172 of those literally have identified the Word as being the Word. But Psalm 1, when you think of Psalm 1, you see a progression. You see a progression of sin, if you will. We see the progression of sin because when we think about, you see evil, you see sin, you see wickedness. And when you think about the order of that, the idea of evil is the idea of the attitude, the mindset. Because evil actually precedes sin. And then you see sin, which is transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 verse 4. And then once that sin has been committed, then wickedness ensues. and wickedness. And the Bible demonstrates to us in 1 John 5 and verse number 17 that all unrighteousness is sin. And so there's a progression. This is why the Bible demonstrates to us that we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Proverbs 4:23. But another thing we see in Psalm 1, we see warnings that are given. We see warnings in this particular context because we see this contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. Young people, listen, please. Do not think that you can engage in unrighteousness and righteousness is going to prevail. It doesn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, the Bible demonstrates to us that you reap what you sow. And so that's another thing we see. But we also see many life lessons. And so I want us to take consideration. Look at verse number 1. We see three things in verse number 1 that I believe that is worthy of our attention. Luke, if you don't mind, read Psalm 1, just verse 1. Now notice, he starts it off, Brother Brian, by saying, blessed. Brother Chad, it's the same word in the Greek as blessed in Matthew chapter 5. Hold on, what does that mean? Happy. Happy. I venture to say that most people in our world today are just not happy. And I would venture to say some of us. Just not happy. I'll be honest with you, I'm a happy person. Everything in life is not on the pinnacle, but I'm a happy person. But why? Look at the verse, brethren, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Literally, your lifestyle is not being advised by those who are wicked. Where do you receive your wisdom? Where do you receive your information that's going to navigate your life? And so this is the fundamental, the foundation for the rest of the Psalms. Because as we look at the Psalms, we have to be asking ourselves, even in the midst of trial and trouble, the Bible demonstrates to us that we need to be looking unto our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. So he says, notice the second part, nor stands in the path of sinners. If you notice, you see a walking, so you're walking alongside of someone who has given you advice and they're wicked, nor standing, now you're stationary and you're in the path of the one who is an offender toward God, literally, in the path of sinners. Well, hold on. What is God teaching us? The Psalms is not just some rosy poems, if you will. Set to music, if you will, Brother Brian is. No, they're giving us information that will actually help us to think right and to think better and to be righteous and know how to treat ourselves and treat our God and treat our neighbor and treat our enemies. Hold on. How do you look at Jesus on the cross and say that you don't have an example on how to treat your enemies? The Bible teaches us, Brian, get Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. The last thing we want to do as children of God is to walk in the advice of the ungodly, nor be stationary in the path of those who offend God. Romans 5 verse 8, what does the Bible demonstrate?
But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
God did not wait for us to get right to help us get right. God gave us the path. He gave us the information. And the psalmist, he's given great information. And it's interesting how the book of Psalms actually begins with this idea. And the rest actually just helps us out. But notice the latter part of the verse. Nor sits in the seat of the arrogant, the scornful. So you have a walking, you have a standing, and now you didn't got so comfortable, now you're sitting with them. And that's how usually sin is. Usually, young men, sin begins with you walking alongside of somebody who's not walking alongside of God. And then you get to a point where, you know, this guy has something to say. Now you're kind of interested. Let me see what you got to say. I'm going to stand here for a second. You know, I think I'm just going to have a seat and really hear what you got to say. And that's exactly what sin does. And the next thing you know, you're inviting other people into your sin. Hold on. But the Bible says, happy is the man that does do these things. Question. How happy are we? Brother Royce, we got to ask that question. How happy are, or do I even want to be happy? Is it possible for me to be happy as a child of God? Regardless of what comes my way, I have to learn how to be blessed, happy. Well, Brother Mike, does that mean that I always have a smile on my face? Who for the joy that was set before him? The Bible teaches us to rejoice in the Lord, what? Whenever you feel like it. When things are going well. When the spouse is acting right. Children are acting right. Brethren are acting right. Boss is acting right. Brethren, if you look at the text, it's amazing. Now watch how it gets even better. Look at verse number 2. But his delight, his longing, his drive, his pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, now watch this, brethren, he meditates. Literally, he allows the word of God to roam around in his mind. We see consistency. And 9 times out of 10, when I'm talking to people and they just can't seem to find it, how often are you reading the word of God? Are you consistent? Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand my schedule. No. Are you consistent? Because usually we imitate what we are consistent with. So what do I do consistently? Because whatever I'm doing consistently, that's going to be the measure of my happiness. It's amazing to me how Jesus could go through what he went through. And he had his mind on sitting at the right hand of his Father. No wonder he could do it. No wonder. It makes sense. Brother Mike, but this is difficult. Going to heaven is difficult, rather. I'm sorry. It's tough. Chad, get Acts 14. Matter of fact, Kipton. I'd rather Kipton read. Kipton, read Acts 14. Let me show you something, brethren. Because we have to meditate. We have to spend time in the Word of God. So in Acts 14, let's pick up a little bit of the context, Kipton. Start at verse number 21 and at verse number 22. Read loud, young man. Hold on. That boy's voice is deep. It's been a while since I heard you talk. Go ahead, read again. Iconium. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right there. Good job. We must, through many troubles, Brother Brian, go to heaven. He's talking to people in the church already. You know what we need to build? We need to continue to build a coalition of God's people who have strength, moral character, who have the backbone to do his will, regardless of what comes their way. We have to. The world ought to be able to see the church and see Christians say, you know what, they're hanging in there, they're holding on, even though it's tough. We have to. Now go back to Psalms and look what he says. But his delight, his drive, his passion, his pleasure, his longing is in the law of the Lord. What are we longing? And in his law doth he meditate, chewing the cud day and night. But notice this language right here. He shall be like a tree that's already by the rivers of water and already producing fruit and already looking good, Brother Evan, right? He shall be like a tree that's what, brethren? Planted. The word planted there is an intentional word. It literally means to transplant, which means that this plant was taken from somewhere. This tree was taken from one place and it was intentionally put right here next to the water so it can grow. Hold on. Isn't that what God did with us when he brought us out of sin and we made the decision to obey the gospel? Let's look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. And let's look at verse number 13, I believe it is. Colossians 1. Let's look at verse 13. What does that say, Grant?
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
And has translated us, the New King James renders conveyed us. He took us out of one and put us in another place. Question. Do you want to be happy? Because you can't be happy if you're trying to be in both worlds. You won't be happy. I promise you. You won't be happy if, number one, your wife is not enough for you. You won't be happy if your husband's not enough for you. You won't be happy if the church is not enough. You won't be happy if your virginity is not enough. You won't be happy. You won't be happy if God is not enough. You just won't be happy. But when you're all in, you can be happy. You can be happy. The question is this. What gave those illustrations, is the Church of Christ enough for you? Or do you want denominationalism too? Brethren, the more I was considering this and thinking about the Psalms, no wonder when you read chapter division 2 and you have Jesus and how he's going to be king and you have to kiss the Son, which means that you need to make sure that you bow down to Jesus because he's going to be the one that God sends. Kiss the Son. Those who don't bow down to Jesus will one day realize that he is God in the flesh, and they're going to pay for it. That's Psalm 2, verses 5 through 11. So as we come to a close, watch this. And as I was breaking this passage down, look what he says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Young men, young ladies, be patient. Brethren, be patient. It is not always your season to prosper. Sometimes it is your season to tear down, to pluck up, and then there come a time when you can actually bear some fruit. There's some trees. What tree can you plant and in 5 years you'll finally get some fruit? Anybody know?
Peach tree.
Peach tree. Takes about 4 to 5 years. Now, if you're on the third year and you're like, what's wrong with this tree? It's not going to produce yet. It's not in season. But then you can plant some things and the next thing you know, 6 months later, you got something popping up. What does that tell us? Everything has a time. Everything has a season, which tells us that we have to wait for our season. Be patient. So bear fruit where God plants you. And notice what he says, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, now notice, these are the lessons that we learn in the book of Psalm 1. Shall prosper. There are lessons for success. There are lessons that teach us how to be a people who are not blown away like the chaff. There are lessons that teach us that sinners are not going to prosper. Now, remember, it was James that just read for us Psalm 73. And there, Asaph, as he's contemplating the sinner and how the sinner is prospering. And they're even telling God, well, what does he know? What does the Most High know? He knows nothing. And Asaph says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I knew their end. You know what that means? That when you come to the worship service, you ought to learn what God says about subjects that's going to encourage you to keep doing what is right. Because there are days where a wife or a husband might say, you know what, I'm done. A child may say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. Or you may say, you know, only thing I want to do is lay at home and be in my house and do nothing all day. But then I go to Bible class, I go to worship, and I hear the word of God, and the man of God is preaching the word of God, and now you have the Spirit of God through the word of God, and I'm being uplifted. Wow. I see why so many, not here, but so many are just dead on the vine. Because number one, they're not being preached to.